بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فبالسند المتصل منا إلى عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن، ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. رواه أبو داود والترمذي. وبالسند المتصل منا إلى أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله تعالى وحشرنا في زمرته ومحبيه، قال: باب قول الله تعالى: ونذو الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة، وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن. وقال مجاهد: القسطاس والعدل بالرومية، ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل، وأما القاسط فهو الجائر. الله سبحانه وتعالى has taken it upon himself to preserve his deen until the day of Qiyamah. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun. It is only we who have revealed the dhikr, wa inna lahu lahafidun, and only we will safeguard it till the day of Qiyamah. La ya'tihi al-batilu min bayni yadayhi wa min khalfihi. لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ومن خلفه. باطل will never be able to reach the ذكر, the وحي that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed from any direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is safeguarding, has safeguarded, and will continue to safeguard this deen until the day of Qiyamah. The words of the Quran and also the commentary of the Quran, the explanation of the Quran. The first explanation and the first commentary of the Quran is the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the first mufassir of the ummah, and he is the raisul mufassirin. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك. نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم responsibility was not only to convey the words of the Quran. یا ایوہ الرسول بلغ ما انزل الیک من ربک. This was responsibility number one, to convey the words of the Quran. نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم's first responsibility was to convey the words of the Quran. And his second responsibility was to explain and give the tafsir of the words of the Quran. And his third responsibility was to nurture the hearts and the minds of the Sahaba and the Ummah so that they are able to practice what they have learned from him. Three responsibilities: to convey the message and to make sure they have understood it correctly, and number three, to make sure they also practice. And after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the ulama have been given this responsibility. Inna al-ulama warathatul anbiya. The ulama are the inheritors of the anbiya. And the first group of ulama are the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. The second group of ulama are the tabi'in. This third group of ulama are the taba tabi'in. And then the fourth group, the fifth group, the sixth group. The juniors acquire ilm and expertise from the seniors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the juniors an unquenching thirst to acquire ilm and the expertise from their seniors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the seniors the unquenching thirst to pass on the ilm and the expertise to their juniors. When we look at the lives of the ulama, the juniors and the seniors both, then we come to this conclusion that they were born only for one thing: acquire ilm and pass on the ilm. Acquire ilm and pass on the ilm. Acquire ilm and pass on the ilm. And it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who had chosen the groups of ulama for this work, so that as a result, deen is safeguarded. We should never undervalue or underestimate the efforts of the ulama. If we feel that the ulama are doing nothing, all they are doing is sitting in the comforts of their classrooms and they are teaching a few books on tafsir, a few books on hadith, a few books on fiqh, very comfortable life. They are not contributing much towards deen. Then we are 100% wrong. Even today the ulama have to toil very, very hard. They have to exert so much effort in teaching these books. Because these are the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And one has to be very, very careful as to how he conveys these words. He has to be very, very careful that the interpretation is 100% correct. Imam Ismail, rahimahullah ta'ala, the Imamul Lughah, he used to say that those students who are weak in Nahwa and Sarf, who are weak in the Arabic language, and as a result of their weakness in the Arabic language, if they recite the hadith incorrectly, not intentionally, then they may fall under the warning that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given for those people who intentionally attribute wrong things towards Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man kadaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maq'adahu minan nar. One who attributes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, one who attributes falsehood towards me, one who attributes something towards me which I have not said, then he should know that he has made his abode in the fire of Jahannam. So Imam Ismail rahimahullah ta'ala, the Imamul Lughah, used to say that if a student is weak and unknowingly he recites the Arab incorrectly, there is fear that he may fall under this hadith and he may be punished on the day of Qiyamah. It is for this reason it became the norm of the ulama and the muhaddisin right from the time of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, that whenever they quoted a hadith and they were slightly unsure, they would say, aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were Arabs. They were Arabs. They knew that as far as the meaning of the hadith is concerned, I have conveyed it correctly. Despite that, they would say, aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, and then they would quote the text, and thereafter they would say, or as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. So if there is any mistake in a letter or in a word, then as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Very big responsibility. Teaching is a very big responsibility. Teaching in the maktab is a very big responsibility. So teaching hadith, Muslim Sharif, Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, very great responsibility. So ulama have told right from the time of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was one of the greatest alim of the ummah and of the time of the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain. He would toil to acquire ilm from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the only worry I had during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that I find morsels that would keep me alive. Good meal, nice clothes, accommodation, marriage, wife, children, no interest. Ala shib'i batani. The only thing I was concerned about was that for survival a person needs a few morsels of food, otherwise he would not survive. That was my only concern. Survival. A few dates here and there, alhamdulillah, because I would survive. I would survive till the next day. That was my only concern. After that, the other concern was acquisition of ilm. Acquisition of ilm. He used to say that many people are surprised that I am always quoting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He had acquired so much from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that on every step he would say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this. So even some of the Sahaba would be surprised that how come Abu Huraira is always quoting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? On every issue, the reference is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this. So Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say to them that you should not be surprised, because you have time to go to the marketplaces and buy and sell goods. You have dedicated time to go to your orchards and go to your farm lands. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu has only one occupation from morning till night. That is to stay with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wherever he goes and to hear and observe what he does, what he says. And not only hear and observe, but also to preserve in my heart and mind. He came across a Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu who would frequently say that Abu Huraira is always quoting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also stay in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also observe him. Why is it that he is always saying, I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this, I saw him do this. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu and this Sahabi, they bumped into each other one day in a street of Madina Munawwar. And Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, where did you perform your Isha Salat last night? So he said, in Masjid Nabawi. From beginning till end, he said, yes. He said, which surahs did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite in the first rakat and the second rakat? He was there, he observed, he heard. But not like Abu Huraira, with the intention of preserving. We find two types of students today also in our classes. One group, they have attended each and every lesson from the beginning of the academic year until the end of the academic year. The other group also attended right from the beginning till the end. But one group sits with the intention of preserving and acquiring from the ocean of the teacher. And the other group only presents itself. It's in the class. And it sits in the class with this thought, with this notion, with this mindset that I will borrow the exercise books of my fellow colleagues when the examination time comes. A person may be able to do this in college and university, but not in a madrasa. Because in college and university, the knowledge or the education is imported and imparted tongue to tongue or tongue to mind. From tongue to mind or from the book to the mind. As far as the ilmi nubuwa is concerned, it is transported and it is imported from heart to heart. So a person will be able to acquire the words from the notebooks of the fellow colleagues, but without the noor of nubuwa. It is for this reason the experts in this field, the ulama, they would say that if a person remains absent from one lesson, then that person will be deprived for the coming 40 days. Even if the person attends the class now, for the coming 40 days, this person will be deprived from the barakah of the lessons. And as a result, our pious predecessors would never stay absent from the class. They would remain present in the class with their bodies, hearts and minds. I always tell my students at the Islamic Dawa Academy that your presence in the class with the body is not sufficient. Your body should be in the class and your heart and mind should also be in the class. Your mind should not waver here and there during the class time. Focus on what the Ustad is saying, what the teacher is saying. Try to acquire as much as possible there and then from the teacher. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu would sit in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would walk around with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to acquire, to take, to import. Import. How can you impart without importing? This is the problem of our generation. Our ulama, many of them, I'm being precautious and I'm not saying majority of them. Many of them do not focus when in class, when in student days. Their focus is other things. So many other things, so many lionies. And after graduation also, they begin importing straight away. And they stop importing. So they have not imported enough during the student days. And after graduation, there is no importing. They begin to impart. And because they have not imported enough, they impart wrong things. And the ummah becomes the victim of fitna. In order to import 1 kilo, in order to impart 1 kilo, you need to import 10 kilos. And this you can only do if you work very hard during your student days and after graduation you keep in touch with your elders and seniors. A student from Bangladesh went to study at Darul Uloom Karachi. And he completed his takhassus in fiqh and ifta at Darul Uloom Karachi during the time of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. I have heard this incident directly from Mufti Muhammad Rafi Usmani Sahib and Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib Hafizahumullah Ta'ala. 3 years he spent, 2 or 3 years in takhassus. And after graduation he said to Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi that can you give me a certificate that I am a Mufti now? So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi said that you are not a Mufti, so how can I give you a certificate of a Mufti? Just by going through the course of a Mufti, you do not become a Mufti. 2 years, 3 years, takhassus in the presence of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, under his supervision. But Mufti Sahib is saying that you are not a Mufti yet. He said, we have taught you how to write fatawa under the patronship and under the supervision of a expert Mufti. You are not a Mufti. You start practicing like a student of medicine. After he completes his course, he has to work for 2-3 years in a hospital under the supervision of doctors. He cannot independently go and open a surgery. And after these 2-3 years, he will be tested. And then only he will be given the authority to go and work in a surgery as an independent doctor. So he said, I understand that, Hazrat. But I need some kind of letter from you, because if I go to Bangladesh and if I say to somebody, I have completed takhassus in fiqh and ifta and I need to train under you, then I need to present something to him. So I need a certificate from you. So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said, yes, that makes sense. And he picked up a paper and a pen and he wrote that this student has completed takhassus in ifta and fiqh in our madrasa. And if he trains under an expert Mufti for 10 years, it is hoped that inshallah he will become a Mufti. This is how precocious our elders were. This is how precocious our elders were. So after graduation begins the true seeking of ilm. In these 5 years, 6 years, we sit in the company of our teacher and we learn the know-how of acquiring ilm. It is wrong to assume that we have become ulama, we have become alimat. No, we have not become ulama, we have not become alimat. When we took admission into the madrasa, we took admission to learn how to become a talibul ilm. And for 5 years, 6 years in the company of our seniors, we learn how to become talibul ilm. The day we graduate as talibul ilm. That now this person can independently on his own acquire ilm. This person knows what is right, what is wrong, which authors are correct, which authors are incorrect, what is the level of this book, what is the level of this book, what is the standard of this book, and what are my limitations, these are my limitations, and when I reach the end of my limitations, then I need to refer to my superiors. Istidad, ability to acquire ilm. We take admission in a madrasa to acquire the ability to acquire ilm. We don't become ulama. And the ability falls into two parts. One part is that what we are able to decide that yes, I know this and I have understood this correctly, so I can impart. And I have not understood this properly, so I need to refer to my seniors. This is part of ilm. So Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to focus our students, talibin ilm, do not focus. They do not focus. Today present, tomorrow absent, 1 week absent, 1 week present. And unfortunately, I am very sorry to say, unfortunately, some madaris remain dependent on their students. That madrasa is madrasa where the students depend on the teachers and the madrasa. Where the madrasa depends on the students, that if we remove this student, we will not have a class. That is not a madrasa. Because there you cannot impose your principles upon the students. We are always in fear. We have only 5 students in the class. If we remove 3 students, we will be left with only 2. And maybe after 6 months, we may have to remove these 2 also. Then what will happen? So we tend to turn a blind eye to the wrong that is taking place as far as acquiring ilm is concerned. The madrasa needs to be independent. The teachers need to be independent. The committee needs to be independent. No problem. Remove all of them because they are not fit to be talibul ilm, we will not have Khatme Bukhari in 2020. No problem. No problem. We'll have Khatme Bukhari in 2021. My very dear daughters, if Mufti Sahib is able to call you daughters, then I definitely can because I am older than Mufti Sahib. You are very, very fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you this opportunity to become talibul ilm at your doorstep. Maybe if this facility was not available, you may not have become an alima today. Especially the sisters who are married with families. If this facility was not available, they may not have become alubat or apas today. So it's a great blessing. I am not discouraging madaris, alhamdulillah. I am a great advocate of ilm. If I could, I would turn each and every ummati into a talibul ilm. Because the greatest tragedy of the ummah today is ignorance. That is the greatest tragedy today. All the differences of opinion that we see, it is as a result of ignorance, because you WhatsApp, you receive a message, because of lack of knowledge, you misunderstand the message. You can't decide who is right and who is wrong due to lack of knowledge. And the lack of knowledge is at its extreme. We do not even know who the authentic and reliable ulama are. We cannot differentiate between the ulama also. That these are the ulama I had and these are not the ulama I had. During the past, people had knowledge, people had ilm. And ilm makes a person humble because he realizes his worth. If I have ilm, if I have an average ilm, average level of ilm, I will be able to recognize who I am talking to. I will know his worth. And as soon as I know his worth, I will become humble.
And the person without ilm, because of his ignorance, feels that I am the greatest alim. I am the most knowledgeable. And because he feels that he is the most knowledgeable, he will not turn to anybody else's opinion. So if a knowledgeable son says to his father that, father, you are going to the wrong alim. You are following the opinion of a wrong alim. He will not pay attention. Because the father feels that, no, I am more knowledgeable than my son. And this is the sign of Qiyamah, that ilm will vanish from the surface of the earth. Ilm will decrease, ignorance will increase, and as a result of ilm decreasing and ignorance increasing, اِعْجَابُ كُلِّ ذِرَائِمْ بِرَائِهِ, every person will be satisfied with his own opinion. This is not the result of ilm. Nowadays we hear so many people say, I have opinion also, I think. In deen there is no I think. A mufti and alim does not say I think. He says, this is it, this. Yes, no, right, wrong. He does not say I think. I think is in worldly matters. You cannot speculate anything in deen. If you are knowledgeable, then you will give a firm fatwa that permissible, not permissible. And anyone who says I think, that is a sign of his weakness in ilm. The sign of a great alim is that he will give a specific fatwa or he will say, I don't know. He is not in between. I think is in between. So, I am a great advocate of ilm. And whenever I see small madaris throughout the country, in cities, I feel very happy. But the students need to take benefit from these madaris. And they need to become true students of deen. They need to dedicate everything towards deen. Al-ilmu la yu'tika ba'dahu hatta tu'tiyahu kullak. Ilm will not give you part of it until you give everything to ilm. Ilm is very stingy. And somebody who is very stingy, you will have to invite him 10 times at your home before expecting an invitation from him. So ilm is very, very stingy. If you want something from ilm, you will have to give everything to ilm. And that is exactly what our pious predecessors did right from the time of the Sahaba until today. Their only occupation was acquire ilm, give everything for ilm. Comforts, comfort of home, comfort of food, comfort of family. Ibn Manda rahimahullah ta'ala left his home at the age of 20 and he returned home at the age of 65. For 45 years he remained in search of ilm, search of hadith. Ibn Manda, a great muhaddith. And the muhaddithin are unanimous that the number of ahadith that Ibn Manda accumulated, no other muhaddith accumulated that number, even Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Because for 45 years, he left at the age of 20, he returned at the age of 65. After 45 years, he saw his family. After 45 years, his family saw him. Imagine how many people must have passed away during that time. So, ilm requires full focus. So we need to acquire as much as we can and thereafter we practice. Mufti Sahib Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, ilm is for amal. Al-ilmu bila amal kashajari bila thamar. Ilm without amal is like a tree that does not bear fruit. That tree is useless. That tree is thrown away from the garden, from the orchard, that does not bear fruit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given us, the talibin ilm, a place in the orchard of Nubuwwah. But if we do not bear fruit, Allah will throw us out of this orchard. And on the day of Qiyamah, we will not be resurrected with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the warisin anbiya. We will be resurrected with other people. So ilm requires effort and total focus. Effort and total focus. effort and total focus. Imam Abu Yusuf Rahimahullah Ta'ala, young child passes away. He was married and with family he was acquiring ilm, and somebody whispers in his ear and he says that your young child has passed away. Year old, 2 years old, 3 years old. And Imam Abu Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali is spontaneously listening to Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali as well, and his focus is in both places. Very important message has come from home. But ilm and amal. So he thought to himself, he must have thought to himself, that if I walk away from this gathering, as a result of the demand from home, if I walk away from this gathering, I will be deprived of ilm. And if I stay here and if I say I will come after lesson, then the funeral of my child will be against the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah demands that the burial should take place as soon as possible. So he said, make arrangements for funeral and bury my child. I will come as soon as the class is over. The child was buried before he reached home. Ilm and amal both. Ilm and amal both. And he used to say that whilst I remained a student of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Alayhi, there was not a single Salatul Fajr which I did not perform in the masjid of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Like we have the Leighton Stone Masjid and we have this Leighton Masjid. So Imam Abu Yusuf Rahmatullahi Alayhi is, for example, residing in the Leighton Stone Masjid area, and Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Alayhi is residing in the Leighton Masjid area. So immediately after Salat, the dars may begin, or after completing Salat, Imam Abu Hanifa may observe something during the Salat upon which he may make a remark which is very important, and I miss that remark. So he made a point of making sure that he would not perform Salat in his local masjid, he would perform Salat here, lest he may miss something. And this happened for years. He said, I did not miss a single Salat of Fajr, because the lesson used to begin after Fajr Salat. Ilm and amal. Ilm. It is through amal that the barakah in ilm is derived. Ilm and amal. We find this in each and every pious predecessor. Each and every. During their childhood, during their student days, and Allah accepted them for this work. So right from childhood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the tawfiq. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi does not say that from the time I became an alim or from the time I became a muhaddis, I have never backbited. He said, no. On the day of Qiyamah, I believe. He said that on the day of Qiyamah, it is my belief. I may be wrong. I may have backbited someone. I'm not aware. But on the day of Qiyamah, it is my belief that Allah will not question me regarding backbiting, because I have never backbited anybody throughout my life. These muwaffaq people, these people who have been granted special tawfiq to preserve the deen, their focus is ilm and amal, ilm and amal, ilm and amal. Imam Muhammad rahimahullah ta'ala, when he took admission in the madrasa of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, one day Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned a particular fiqh masala deriving from the Quran and Hadith. Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi, during the lesson, got up from his place, he left the majlis, and he returned after 5 or 10 minutes and he sat down in the majlis again. As I said, in those days, for a student to walk away from the majlis for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, it was not comprehensible, it was not acceptable. And Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi was a very special student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. So after the lesson, he said, Muhammad, come here. Where did you go during the class? So he said, you mention a particular masala. And according to that masala, the Isha Salat of the previous night was qaza upon me. I had performed my Isha Salat, but according to the masala that you mentioned, the Salat of Isha was
qada upon me. And acquiring ilm is farz-e kifaya. And salatul isha is farz-e ayn. And I don't know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call me in his court. Imam Muhammad must have been in his teens at the time. I do not know when Allah will call me in his court, so I found it necessary to leave the majlis and carry out the obligation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our thought process is that I am still a student. That means I am still a child. Even at the age of 26, as long as we are students, we are children. No, my friends. At the age of 15, we no longer remain children. And sometimes even before 15, there are many ways of becoming baligh. So when a boy or a girl becomes baligh, whether 12, 13, 10, 15, we become responsible. Responsible individuals of the ummah. It is for this reason, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmeen would get married at the age of 11, at the age of 12, at the age of 13. They would become fathers and mothers at the age of 11, 12 and 13. And with full responsibility, they would look after their families. They would look after their families. Regarding Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, some ulama are of the opinion that the difference of age between the father and the son was 11 years. So at the age of 11 years, Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had become a father. But how responsible was Amr ibn al-As? He nurtured his son in such a way that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As became muhaddis of the ummah. Responsible people. They became responsible people. And nowadays at the age of 25, at the age of 30 now people say, I'm not ready yet. Not ready. I'm not ready. Are you not baligh? Are you not matured? What do you mean you are not ready? When they say I am not ready, means I am not ready to shoulder responsibilities. It's good that the old man is shouldering all the responsibilities of the house, bills, everything. I'm not ready to shoulder any responsibility. That is the thing. They would become responsible at the age of 11, 12, 13, 14. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma was only 13 years old when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. But he became the Tarjumanul Quran, he became the Raisul Mufassirin, he became the Habrul Ummah, he became the Baharul Ummah at the age of 13. Aisha radiallahu anhu was only 18 when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. Anas radiallahu anhu was only 20 years old when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. When we talk about Anas, when we talk about Aisha, when we talk about Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, because we have a picture in our minds. Whenever we talk about the pious predecessors, we see somebody who is very old, with an old grey beard, with an amama. So we feel that these people became very pious and great ulama in their old ages. No, my friends. No. Ilm and amal, right from student days. And even those who are not studying in madaris, we are all students, my friends. Yusuf Bhai is also a student. Whether he takes admission in a madrasa or not, Yusuf Bhai remains a student until he breathes his last. And Hazrat Maulana, despite reaching this age, he will also remain, and he considers himself a student. And Mufti Ibrahim Sahib and Maulana Muhammad Sahib, Maulana Ismail Sahib, they are students of hadith. And they have been teaching hadith for a number of years. I can vouch for them. That they have never felt that we are muhaddisin or we are people of hadith. They have always felt that we are very fortunate to be students of hadith. And whenever the ulama make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never hear these words that, oh Allah, keep me an alim until I breathe my last. No, you will never hear a single alim. Keep me an alim until I breathe. No. Oh Allah, keep me a student of ilm until I breathe my last. They remain ulama, they remain talibin ilm. They feel very happy that as a result of teaching, we learn so much. It's a learning process all the time. Learning process. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi was asked, until when? He said, ilal mamat. Until when? He said, until I die, I will remain a student. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi was asked,
You are Imam al-Muslimin. You are Imam al-Muslimin, or you are going with papers, notebooks, and with pen and ink pot. Until how long are you going to continue acquiring ilm? He said, he picked up his ink pot and he said, Ma'al mihbarati ilal makhbarati. He said that with this ink pot I will go to the grave. Until the last moment. So until the last moment we need to continue acquiring ilm, and until the last moment we need to continue practicing ilm. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, and the likes of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, there are others also who have said that I have not come across a single hadith which I have not practiced. Not a single hadith which I have not practiced. Allahu Akbar. Not a single hadith which I have not practiced. And the third thing we need to do is to pass on. And in pass on, in passing on, in conveying, they have set records also. Allama Saraksi rahimahullah ta'ala was jailed in the well. In those times, he was lowered in the well and he was not allowed to come out of the well. Spend your next few years in the well. Stay in the well. Well became the jail for him. So he remained in the well. Everything is given, food, everything there. So the students came to meet him. And they spoke to him and they said, Hazrat, you are in the well now. As I said, unquenching thirst to take, unquenching thirst to give. So unquenching thirst to take brought the students at the brink of the wall. And they said, Hazrat, you are in there now. Who will teach us? So he said, I will teach you, and from here I will teach you. From here I will teach you. And he began teaching from there. All the students would gather around the well and he would speak from the well, from the bottom of the well. Maybe somebody became a mukabbir for him outside and he would convey his message, whatever the method was. And he continued teaching from the well, no books to refer to. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. No books to refer to. Without, no library, nothing. He is in the well. And he continued teaching daily, and the students continued writing daily. And it was so well dictated that it became a voluminous book, 30 volumes, which is known among the academics as the Al-Mabsut of Imam Saraksi rahimahullah ta'ala. 30 volumes he dictated from the well. This was the zeal they had to pass on. And as I said, that he was able to impart 30 volumes because he had imported more than 30 volumes. So this is the message that I would like to leave all of you with. LPP. Learn, practice and pass on. Those who are the students of Deen, who are formally the students of Deen, our students at the Madrasa Nurul Islam, Layton, other sisters, other brothers, other daughters, sons who have come from other areas who are students, please give everything to this. Only 6 years, only 5 years. 5 years, 6 years, give everything to ilm. And then throughout the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you honor, respect and reverence. Only give 5 years of sacrifice, 6 years of sacrifice. Give everything to ilm. Don't just become a traditional alim, a traditional apa. No. Become a well-worth alim, well-worth apa, who is an asset for the ummah. Who is an asset for this masjid, who is an asset for this madrasa, who is an asset for the community around this masjid, who is an asset for the whole of London, whose fragrance will reach Africa, America, Canada, Asia, Australia. And it is possible. It is possible. It is not impossible. It is not impossible. Sometimes a person becomes famous as a result of his attribution, as the attribution towards a madrasa, because madrasa is very famous, the person becomes famous. And sometimes a madrasa becomes famous as a result of the student. Sometimes a student becomes famous as a result of the teacher, that I am the student. And sometimes the teacher becomes famous as a result of the student. So never become the victim of inferiority complex that we are studying in a very small madrasa. If you lower your levels already from the outset, how will you excel? Now, every madrasa is equal. It all depends on the teacher and it all depends on the student. How much effort they both exert and how much focus they give to ilm. Any madrasa can produce an imam. Any madrasa can produce an imam. So please, focus. And will ilm amal. And after graduating, pass on. And you will only be able to pass on if this remains your occupation. If after becoming an alima you become a doctor, how will you pass on? Because your occupation and your focus has changed. You will not be able to import now. Because the medicine will take all your time. I asked the madrasa students, the students of this madrasa also, and madrasa students, the young graduated ulama, how many doctors have you come across in your life that has changed his field? Somebody has said, I am a doctor, I graduated as a doctor, but I am working as a lawyer now. How many doctors have you come across? I am a doctor, but I was not interested in medicine, so I have opened a factory now. I am a doctor by profession, but I am running a shop. How many doctors? How many lawyers have you come across who have switched their profession? That I am a lawyer by profession. They find pride in their profession. They find pride that I am a doctor and I must remain a doctor until I breathe my last. This is my occupation. This is what I have chosen for myself. So why is it that only ulama are not valuing their degrees and they are not feeling proud of their degrees? Why? Why the people of ilm only? This is also a degree. It's a 5, 6, 7 year course and very extensive course. I am not degrading the universities in the colleges and the universities. Knowledge, any knowledge is fruitful. Some knowledge more fruitful, others less, but every knowledge is fruitful. Islam encourages people to acquire education. Islam does not. Without doctors, what would we do in this world? Without architects, how would we survive in this world? Without lawyers, how would we solve our problems? So we need good Muslim doctors, we need good Muslim lawyers, we need good Muslim architects, we need good Muslim professionals in every field. I am not saying that all these doors should be shut. No, I am not saying that. What I am saying is that we have chosen this path for ourselves and Allah has chosen us for this field. So we should remain happy with the choice of Allah for us and we should not leave this path. We should remain in this path. And as far as risk is concerned, then Allah has taken responsibility of the risk. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say, during his time, this is 50, 60 years ago, he used to say that 1300 to 1400 years have passed, bring me one alim, one person of ilm, who has committed suicide because of starvation in his home, because he could not support his family. He said, bring one alim. Bring one alim. During the Ramadan itikaf, my late teacher, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, who was my teacher of Hifz, Hafiz Muhammad Fakir Makadia, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, as a result of his affection, he connected himself to me spiritually, despite being much older than me. And he would take lessons from me in the spiritual path. And every year he would sit in etiquette with us. So because he was my teacher, I had to revere him. I had to respect him. So one day, iftari used to take place at 5 p.m. So after Taraweeh also, we used to make arrangement for some snacks for all the mu'takifin. And I would always keep him next to me at the time of food. So the snacks were being prepared on a 27th night, one Ramadan. And he was sitting next to me, so he nudged me like this. Because I was a bit busy with the organizing of everything, so he nudged me like this. So I said, yeah. So he said, because your father sent you to a darulum and you worked hard and you acquired ilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only giving you food, but through you Allah is giving so many people food. So he said, this notion is wrong, that an alim will suffer financially. He said, not only are you eating, but as a result of you, so many people in Etiquette are having food free of charge every day. And then he nudged me again and he smiled. And he said, if your father had not sent you to Idara Ulum, you would have been suffering in a factory somewhere. Remove this notion, my friends. It's a very common notion planted in the hearts and minds of the people by Shaitan. That alhamdulillah, becoming a Hafiz, becoming a Maulana, becoming an Alim is very good. But what are the salaries? The Imam at Masjid Nurul Islam is 20,000, 15,000, that's the range, from 10,000 to 25,000. And 25, 23, 20,000, very less masajid, majority of them between 10 and 13,000. How will he survive? Even in Darul Ulooms, 10,000, 12,000, 13,000, because people don't donate. And if people don't donate, how can the masajid and the madaris give more? They want to give more, but they can't. So it is not the fault of the madaris or the ulama or the masajid. It is the fault of the community. They should give importance. And they should come to the masajid and say, I am donating 1,000 pounds only for the salary of the imams. Don't spend it elsewhere. This is for the salary of the imam. And Yusuf Bhai will be compelled to use it because you have stipulated that sum. But no, we are all concerned about the salaries of the ulama, but practically we are not doing anything. How many people from the musallis of this masjid or any other masjid throughout the world who is a good earner, whose salary is 25,000 pounds, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, and who knows that the salary of the imams is not enough, because the income of our masjid, I can see, they cannot afford, or they are not giving for some reason. So let me once a year at least give my Imam Sahib 50 pound as hadiya. Hadiya only so that Allah can become happy, because he is a person of him. How many of us do that? Despite that, my friends, despite that, alhamdulillah, I have not come across any alim who is crying over money and who is saying, I'm suffering, but only because this is khidmat of deen, I am giving this sacrifice. Everybody is comfortable, alhamdulillah. And I always say that if you sincerely take this as your occupation, you may have less money, but you will have more satisfaction than the wealthiest person. Allah will give you satisfaction. And I say that the wealthy person may be eating fried chicken and you may be eating dal. But the enjoyment and the satisfaction that Allah will give you in this dal, that wealthy person will not find 5% of that satisfaction or enjoyment in his chicken. Because enjoyment comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Satisfaction comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My late father rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to see me as his investment for the hereafter. And he would say this. And I urge all of you to make dua for me during this very auspicious gathering, that Allah make me an investment for him. May Allah make me an investment for him. So he used to say to me that promise me. We used to sit on 1-on-1-2. He used to say, promise me that after you graduate, 24 hours deen, khidmat of deen only, nothing else. No part time of this and no part time of that. Only one work. So I said, you are making me a Maulana, you are making me a Maulvi, and you are expecting me to do something else. This is in 1980s when the ulama would never even think of doing something else. This will be my occupation. So he used to say to me that, beta, if you work sincerely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you yourself may not have money, but Allah will facilitate everything for you through His makhluk. You may not have money, but Allah will facilitate for you through His makhluk. Allah will put the makhluk in your service. Allah will put the makhluk in your service. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And without any desire on the part of the ulama, my friends. I have seen so many ulama, no desire on their part. And they are so precocious that they would not even give a hint. But whenever they require anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the asbab for them. Become his and Allah will become yours. Those people who fully dedicate themselves for the deen, for learning and for teaching, learning and teaching, for taking and passing, they become civil servants, and civil servants enjoy much more facilities than the normal working class people. We become civil servants, we become the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I urge all my daughters, all the sisters who are graduating today, and those who are studying and who have intention of studying, all the students, this is our occupation. Whatever happens, this is our occupation. Whatever happens, this is our occupation. All the Salafi Salihin, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, sometimes during his talabul ilm, the money would not reach him. And ilm and amal both. So begging from somebody was not permissible or not right. Sabr. So ilm and amal, exercising sabr. Imam Bukhari, his Katib Muhammad ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah ta'ala says, that Imam Bukhari said to me that sometimes for 2 or 3 days, because my money would not reach me on time, money sent from the family would not reach me on time, so sometimes for 2 days, sometimes for 3 days, I would just chew leaves of trees and drink water. And that is how I survived. If we do this, then we will talk about, then people will talk about us like they talk about Imam Bukhari after centuries also. And Imam Bukhari is gone now. All the hardship is gone now. He is enjoying in Jannah. Abdul Wahid ibn Adam, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that I saw in a dream that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is standing there with the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, as if waiting for somebody. So I said, who are you waiting for, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari is departing from the world today. And he is coming into Jannah. I have come with the Sahaba to welcome him. Muhammad ibn Adam said, when I woke up, I noted down the date and the day and the time of my dream. And he said, I made inquiry, and that was the time when Imam Bukhari departed from this world. So Imam Bukhari did not acquire this great status because he wrote Bukhari Sharif. No, my friends. It was because of his ilm and amal. As a result of ilm and amal, Allah chose him to compile Bukhari Sharif. If Imam Bukhari only acquired ilm without any amal, Allah would not given him the tawfiq to compile Bukhari. And even if Allah did give him the tawfiq to compile Bukhari, his Bukhari would not have become accepted amongst the ummah the way it is. So please, don't look to the right, don't look to the left, sirat-e-mustaqim. The ummah needs us. If we turn away from the ummah, who will look after the ummah? If all the ulama after graduation go to university, college and go into other... I am not against any education whatsoever, as long as it is within the limits of Sharia. But what I am saying is that if all the doctors go into other occupations, who will look after the surgeries? Who will look after the hospitals? So if all the ulama go this side and that side, then who will look after the musalla? Who will look after the maktab? Even today in some localities, people find it difficult to get a teacher in a maktab only for 2 hours in the evening. Yusuf Bhai must have experienced many times. Despite being so many ulama. And in the 1970s, 1980s, the number of huffaz and the ulama were very little, but you would find replacement immediately. And nowadays in dozens, but we find it difficult. So this should be our occupation. And inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant immense barakah. I will end with just one point to give comfort to all my fellow students, that we are the waris of the Nabi, waris of the Anbiya. We are also inheritor of all the Anbiya, so we are inheritor of our Nabi also, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the culture, because we are his waris, so whatever he owned we will get. If I am the inheritor of my father, so I will have inheritance in his home, I will have inheritance in his farm, I will have inheritance in his car, my share is in everything. So our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also suffered.
So if we are the varis of Nabi, then we also have to suffer. And the culture is that the first phase of the life is suffering and the second phase of life is enjoyment and comfort. So in the initial stages, we will have to suffer because that is our Makki period. And once we go through that Makki period with sabr and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then every alim who made this his objective, he saw the Madani period in his life also. When yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja, when people were flocking towards him from all four directions. So when I say that if you engage in this, Allah will, not in the beginning. In the beginning, we have to go through that Makki period. And Makki period is struggle. But once you remain steadfast, like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did with his Sahaba, then the Madani period will come. And in Madani period, people will flock towards you from all four sides. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of rizq for you as well. And in the Makki period also, Allah may keep the door closed a little bit, but He'll give you enough to survive and to be comfortable, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me also the tawfiq. Imam Abu Asim al-Nabil rahimahullahu ta'ala used to say that man talaba hadal hadith talaba ala umuri deen. One who goes out in search of hadith, then he should remember that he is searching for somebody and he is searching for something and he is seeking something which is a very high section of deen. So hadith is a very high section of deen. It is for this reason, those who study hadith, those who teach hadith are revered by all the religious people, alhamdulillah, mashallah. He is teaching Bukhari Sharif, mashallah, Muslim Sharif, mashallah, Tirmidhi Sharif, mashallah, Riyadus Salihin, alhamdulillah. It's a great honor. So those people who go out in acquiring the knowledge of hadith, they are seeking a very high section of deen. So they have become the VIPs of the ummah. And if they have become the VIPs of the ummah, then the VIPs have to behave in a different manner. So Imam Abu Asim al-Nabil says, فَيَجِبُوا أَن يَكُونَ خَيْرَ النَّاسِ. So it is necessary for the seekers of ilm hadith and the teachers of ilm hadith to be the best amongst the people they live in. Their manners, their characters, their ibadat, their behavior has to be the best. I leave my daughters with this final nasiha, inshallah, which is for me also, and which is for every sahibul ilm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this gathering and grant us all the tawfiq to keep LPP in mind and continue learning, continue practicing and continue passing on, inshallah. وبه قال حدثنا أحمد بن أشكاب قال حدثنا محمد بن فضيل أن أمارة بن القعقاع عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reports from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said there are two sentences which are beloved to Rahman ta'ala, and if they are beloved to Rahman ta'ala, then the one who continually reads them will also become beloved to Rahman ta'ala. Khafifatani ala lisan, they are very light on the tongue, not heavy at all. Saqilatan fil mizan, but very heavy in the mizan, very heavy in the scales on the day of Qiyamah. And they are subhanallahi wa bihamdihi subhanallahi al-azim, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi subhanallahi al-azim, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi subhanallahi al-azim. Please let us all make a firm resolution, ladies, gents, both young, old, both, that daily, minimum, we will recite these two sentences 100 times. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah. So it's like storing 100 small bowls of subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim daily. So when we pass away, if we live for a number of years, when we pass away, we'll have thousands of these small marbles of subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who always spoke the truth, says that it's heavy to speak, it's easy to speak, but very heavy on the mizan. So when Allah puts all these small marbles of Subhanallah, we have the Subhanallah Azim in the mizan, inshallah the right pan of the scale will become very heavy. And the light pan scale will become light. The left hand side scale will become light. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if the right hand side pan of the scale becomes heavy, and the left hand side pan becomes light, then I will forgive that person and send him in Jannah. So if you want to make the right hand side pan of the scale heavy, very easy method is Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. 100 times is minimum. If we are able to recite it more, Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant immense barakah to this gathering today. And may Allah grant immense barakah to the madrasa, to the asatida. May Allah grant barakah to Yusuf Bhai and his whole team. May Allah grant immense barakah to all those people who have contributed in whatever way possible, right from the inception of this institute until today. And I pray from the depth of my heart, upon the completion of the Bukhari Sharif, and it is the experience of our Mashayikh and Akabir, that duas are accepted, that may we see the new project reach completion with afiyat as quickly as possible. And everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May we have our next Bukhari Sharif Jalsa in the new project, inshallah. And I urge all my brothers, sisters who have already participated in making this project possible, try to assist as much as possible, and try to encourage other people also to assist as much as possible. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina ala muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى. اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك العظيم. اللهم افتح لنا أبواب رحمتك. اللهم إنا نسألك الرضاء بالقضاء وبرد العيش بعد الموت ولذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من ضراء مضرة ومن فتنة مضلة. اللهم اهدنا بفضلك في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت. تباركت ربنا وتعاليت. نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم اجمع كلمة المسلمين على الحق ووحد صفوفهم اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك، واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين. اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين ومن المتطهرين ومن عبادك الصالحين ومن أوليائك المقربين ومن أوليائك الصديقين ومن أوليائك المتقين ومن خدام دينك ومن عشاق نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الربانيين، اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الربانيين، اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الربانيين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما، یسر و سہولت کا معاملہ فرما، عفو و عافیت کا معاملہ فرما، فضل و عنایت کا معاملہ فرما، ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما، صراط مستقیم پر چلنے کی، جمنے کی، چلانے کی، جمانے کی توفیق عطا فرما، مرنے سے پہلے پہلے مرنے کی تیاری کی توفیق عطا فرما، آخرت کی ساری منزلیں آسان فرما، اپنی رضا عطا فرما، اپنی محبت عطا فرما، اپنا قرب خاص نصیب فرما، اپنی معرفت عطا فرما، اے ارحم الراحمین سعادت عطا فرما، شقاوت سے محفوظ فرما، الہ العالمین توحید نصیب فرما، شرک سے حفاظت فرما، الہ العالمین خلوص نصیب فرما، نفاق اور ریا سے حفاظت فرما، اے ارحم الراحمین ایمان کی حفاظت فرما، کفر سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، اے ارحم الراحمین بیماریوں سے نجات عطا فرما، صحتیں عطا فرما، الہ العالمین ذلت سے بچا لے، عزتیں عطا فرما، اے ارحم الراحمین تیرے تجھ سے دوری سے حفاظت فرما، تیرا قرب خاص نصیب فرما، الہ العالمین گمراہی سے بچا لے، ہدایت سے سرفراز فرما، الہ العالمین سوئے خاتمے سے محفوظ فرما، حسن خاتمہ کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما، الہ العالمین الہ العالمین الہ العالمین جہنم سے حفاظت فرما، الہ العالمین جنت الفردوس میں داخلہ نصیب فرما، اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین، الہ العالمین جہالت سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، علم نافع نصیب فرما، علم نافع نصیب فرما، علم نافع نصیب فرما، الہ العالمین الہ العالمین قلب سلیم نصیب فرما، فہم سلیم نصیب فرما، الہ العالمین علم کی صحیح سمجھ عطا فرما، الہ العالمین سلف صالحین کے طریق پر چلنے والا بنا دے، اہل سنت والجماعت کے طریق پر ثابت قدمی نصیب فرما، الہ العالمین الہ العالمین بزرگوں کی تعلیمات کی روشنی میں الہ العالمین دین کو سمجھنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، شرور فتن سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، الہ العالمین ہم سب کو اعتدال نصیب فرما، اعتدال نصیب فرما، اعتدال نصیب فرما، اتباع سنت اتباع شریعت نصیب فرما، اے ارحم الراحمین آج جن طالبات کا اختتام ہوا ہے بخاری شریف کا اور دوسری حدیث کی کتابوں کا، الہ العالمین انہیں بے انتہا قبول فرما، بے انتہا قبول فرما، بے انتہا قبول فرما، الہ العالمین انہیں عالمات ربانیات میں شامل فرما، اے ارحم الراحمین انہیں دین کی خدمت کے لیے قبول فرما، الہ العالمین انہیں علم تعلیم و تعلم کو اڑنا بچھونا بنانے کی توفیق عطا فرما، الہ العالمین انہیں کسی طرح بھی محتاج نہ بنا، الہ العالمین تبلیغ دین کے لیے الہ العالمین جن اسباب کی ضرورت ہے سب کا ان کے لیے غیب سے انتظام فرما، انہیں اپنے ماں باپ کے لیے اپنے خاندانوں کے لیے الہ العالمین اپنے اساتذہ کے لیے اپنی استانیوں کے لیے جن جن لوگوں نے ان کے پیچھے محنتیں کی ہیں ان کے لیے صدقہ جاریہ بنا دے، صدقہ جاریہ بنا دے، آخرت میں نجات کا ذریعہ بنا دے، پورے عالم میں الہ العالمین دین اور علم دین کے پھیلنے کا انہیں ذریعہ بنا دے، اے ارحم الراحمین اس مسجد میں ہر قسم کی خیر و برکت پیدا فرما، الہ العالمین ہر شر سے ہر مکروہ سے اس کی حفاظت فرما، الہ العالمین تیری مرضی کے مطابق کام کرنے کی سب کو توفیق عطا فرما، الہ العالمین الہ العالمین منتظمین کی
کہ فہم دین میں بھی اور اضافہ فرما الہ العالمین، اساتذہ کے خلوص میں اور ان کے علوم میں ان کے فیوز میں خوب برکت پیدا فرما یا ارحم الراحمین، اس ادارے کو پورے عالم میں ہدایت کے عام ہونے کا ذریعہ بنا الہ العالمین، پورے عالم میں ہدایت کے عام ہونے کا ذریعہ بنا، پورے عالم میں ہدایت کے عام ہونے کا ذریعہ بنا الہ العالمین، ہمیں بھی اور ہماری نسلوں کو بھی اور الہ العالمین پوری امت کو علم کی نہ بجھنے والی پیاس نصیب فرما، الہ العالمین علم کے ہر حصے پر عمل کرنے والا بنا، اور الہ العالمین مرتے دم تک اس علم کو آگے دوسروں تک پہنچانے والا بنا، الہ العالمین الہ العالمین جو ہم نے مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما، جو مانگنا چاہیے تھا نہیں مانگ سکی وہ بھی عطا فرما، الہ العالمین ہم سب کو حقیقی معنی میں شکر کرنے والا بنا دے، ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم، رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين، اللهم انا نسالك في سفرنا هذا البر والتقوى ومن العمل ما ترضى، سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين واخر دعوانا.